Welcome to the Quanta Science Podcast. Each episode, we bring you stories about developments in science and mathematics. I'm Susan Vallett. The discovery that the brain has different systems for representing small and large numbers provokes new questions about memory, attention, and mathematics. That's next.
It's season 3 of The Joy of Why, and I still have a lot of questions, like, what is this thing we call time? Why does altruism exist? And where is Jan 11?
I'm here, astrophysicist and co-host, ready for anything.
That's right, I'm bringing in the A-team.
So brace yourselves.
Get ready to learn.
I'm Jan 11.
I'm Steve Strogatz.
And this is...
Quanta Magazine's podcast, The Joy of Why.
New episodes drop every other Thursday.
More than 150 years ago, economist and philosopher William Stanley Jevons discovered something curious about the number 4. While musing about how the mind conceives of numbers, he tossed a handful of black beans into a cardboard box. Then he quickly guessed how many there were before counting them to record the true value. After more than 1,000 trials, he saw a clear pattern. When there were 4 or fewer beans in the box, he always guessed the right number. But for 5 beans or more, his quick estimations were often incorrect. Jevons' description of his self-experiment was published in Nature in 1871. Stephen Piantedosi is a professor of psychology and neuroscience at the University of California, Berkeley. He says that Nature paper
actually is very much the foundation of how we think about number now. The basic effect and the basic difference between large and small numbers, as well as the kind of properties of small numbers getting more noisily estimated as they get larger, is something that he found.
The paper sparked a long-lasting and ongoing debate about why there seems to be a limit on the number of items we can accurately judge to be present in a set. Now, a new study in Nature Human Behavior has edged closer to an answer by taking an unprecedented look at how human brain cells fire when presented with certain quantities. Its findings suggest that the brain uses a combination of 2 mechanisms to judge how many objects it sees. One estimates quantities. The second sharpens the accuracy of those estimates, but only for small numbers. Here's Piantedosi again, who wasn't involved in the study.
It's really very exciting and important work. It's connecting these ideas that people have thought about and argued about in cognitive science to a biological basis, which is very exciting. There's not many things in cognition where people have been able to kind of pinpoint biological foundations or very plausible biological foundations. And, you know, I think that's a real technical achievement.
Although the new study doesn't end the debate, the findings start to untangle the biological basis for how the brain judges quantities. This could inform bigger questions about memory, attention, and even mathematics. The ability to instantly judge the number of items in a set doesn't have anything to do with counting. Human infants have this number sense even before they learn language, and it's not limited to humans. Monkeys, bees, fish, crows, and other animals also have it. A monkey needs to be able to quickly judge the number of apples in a tree, and also how many other monkeys it's competing against for those apples. A lion, when confronted by other lions, has to decide whether to fight or flee. Honeybees need to know which area has the most flowers for foraging. A guppy has better chances of escaping a predator if it joins a shoal because bigger groups of fish mean safety. This innate number sense is therefore critical to survival, increasing an animal's chances of finding food, avoiding predators, and ultimately reproducing. Andreas Nieder is the chair in animal physiology at the University of Tübingen in Germany. He co-led the new study.
So it seems to be, evolutionarily speaking, an ancient system. And the reason, I think, is because it's highly adaptive. It simply pays off for the survival of an animal to be able to differentiate numerical quantities. In many situations in the life of an animal, in a biological term, it has adaptive value. So it helps to survive and to reproduce. And this is basically what biology is all about.
The neural basis of this ability has interested cognitive scientists for decades. In 2002, Nader was working with neuroscientist Earl Miller at MIT as a postdoctoral fellow. They published one of the first pieces of evidence that numbers are linked to specific neurons. These neurons are located in the prefrontal cortex, where higher-level processing takes place. In a behavioral experiment using monkeys, they found that these neurons have preferred numbers. When perceived, these favorite numbers make the cells light up in brain scans. For example, some neurons are tuned to the number 3. When they're presented with 3 objects, they fire more. Other neurons are tuned to the number 5 and fire when presented with 5 objects, and so on. These neurons aren't exclusively committed to their favorites. They also fire for numbers adjacent to it. So the neuron tuned to 5 also fires for 4 and 6 objects. But they don't do it as often, and as the presented number gets farther away from the preferred number, the neuron's firing rate decreases. Nader was excited by the deeper questions the work presented about the development of mathematical ability. Numbers lead to counting, and then to symbolic number representations, such as Arabic numerals that stand in for quantities. Those symbolic numbers underpin arithmetic and mathematics. Here's Nader again.
It's an extremely fundamental question, I think, because for us to know how numbers are represented is setting the foundation for everything that's coming later. And by coming later, I mean our symbolic representations of numbers. How children learn to count is intimately related to this question.
Nader went on to learn as much as he could about number neurons.
The idea is really that this is a biological precursor system for our mathematical skills.
In 2012, Nader's team discovered that the neurons respond to their preferred numbers when they're estimating a set of sounds or visual items. Then, in 2015, they showed that crows also have number neurons. Nader says in a show of amazing crow behavior, the birds could correctly peck the number of dots or Arabic numerals displayed to them. But no one had identified number neurons in humans. That's because studying the human brain is notoriously difficult. Scientists usually can't access its activity ethically in experiments while people are alive. Brain imaging tools don't have the resolution needed to distinguish individual neurons, and scientific curiosity alone can't justify implanting invasive electrodes in the brain. To peer into a living brain, Nader needed to find patients who already had electrode implants and who would consent to being part of his research. In 2015, he contacted Florian Mormann, the head of the Cognitive and Clinical Neurophysiology Group at the University of Bonn.
Because he's the best. He's one of the very few people, I would almost say the only one in Germany, who is doing these single-cell recordings in human patients.
Nader asked if Mormann and his patients would join his search for human number neurons. Mormann said yes, and their teams got to work examining the brain activity of his epilepsy patients, who had previously had electrodes implanted to improve their medical care. 9 patients did simple calculations in their heads, while researchers recorded their brain activity. Sure enough, in the data, Nader and Mormann saw neurons firing for their preferred numbers. This was the first time number neurons had been identified in the human brain. They published their findings in the journal Neuron in 2018. Here's Nader.
I think everyone who's doing science is, of course, also driven to understand his or her own mind and brain. And finding such neurons in a human brain is extremely rewarding. But I have to say, all the animal studies were, of course, tremendously helpful in understanding what to look for. So I think it's a constant going back between animal studies and human studies, ideally.
To continue their quest, Nader and Mormann launched a new study to find out how the neurons represent odd and even numbers. The researchers recruited 17 epilepsy patients and showed them flashes of dots, ranging a number from 1 to 9, on computer screens. The participants indicated whether they saw an odd or even number, while electrodes recorded their brain activity.
So actually, we were aiming for something slightly different, seeing whether the neurons would generalize across different formats.
Over the next few months, as Esther Kuter, a graduate student studying with Nader, analyzed the resulting data, she saw a clear pattern emerge, right around the number 4. The data comprised 801 recordings of single neurons firing. It showed 2 distinct neural signatures, one for small numbers and one for large. Above the number 4, the neurons firing for their preferred number grew progressively less precise, and they erroneously fired for numbers close to the preferred one. But for 4 and below, the neurons fired precisely, with the same small amount of error whether firing for 1, 2, 3, or 4 objects. The misfiring in response to other numbers was largely absent. This surprised Nader, who hadn't previously seen this boundary in his animal studies. Those experiments had included numbers only up to 5. He hadn't set out to probe Jevons' observation, nor did he expect to see a neural boundary confirm what behavioral studies had found. Up until that point, he had been convinced that the brain had just one mechanism for judging numbers. The new data changed that for him.
This kind of boundary popped out in different ways. And then we started to investigate it and to quantify it and to really chisel it out, whether this is just something we are imagining when we look at the data or whether there's something more to it. My lab has recorded a lot of these neurons in animals, in monkeys, in crows, and we have never seen such a boundary between smaller and large numbers for various reasons. So I was convinced that this is a continuum, that the neurons start out relatively selectively and sharply tuned for the small numbers, and then they are becoming progressively broader and broader with higher numbers.
The neural patterns suggested that there is an additional mechanism that suppresses smaller number neurons from firing for the wrong numbers. Stephen Piantedosi of UC Berkeley and Serge Dumoulin, the director of the Spinoza Center for Neuroimaging in Amsterdam, had both previously published papers supporting the idea that only one mechanism manages the neuronal interpretation of numbers. Yet, they were struck by Nader and Mormon's new data, showing that there are in fact 2 separate mechanisms. Here's Piantedosi.
It's real validation that large and small numbers have different neural signatures because they have different behaviors. And anytime you have different behaviors, you pretty much have to have different neural signatures. The neurons are what drive the behaviors. So it's in some sense validation that this kind of area that people look in is a plausible kind of foundation for numerical cognition and for the behavioral effects that people study.
But Piantedosi cautions that 2 signatures can emerge from a single process.
Basically, what this paper is saying is there are neural signatures of the 2 different behaviors. And great, that's very cool, right? It doesn't tell you why the 2 different behaviors arose, whether they arose from the same optimization process or not. And it also shows that they're not at least physiologically distinct kind of pathways or something like that, right? There's a bunch of neurons all mixed together. And so it's reasonable to think that those neurons acquired their tuning curves through similar processes because they're all right next to each other. That might not be true, right? You could have 2 systems which were intermixed in neurons in principle, I think.
Whether it should be described as one mechanism or 2 is still up for debate. Serge Dumoulin says there could just be differences in interpretation.
It's really honing in to the answer to the question, right? You're becoming more and more detailed. And I think this is just beautiful because, you know, this type of data wasn't available and certainly not in humans.
But one more major uncertainty remains. The researchers didn't study the prefrontal or parietal cortices, where the majority of number neurons are located in monkeys. Instead, because of where the patient's electrodes were inserted, the study focused on the medial temporal lobe, which is involved in memory. Here's brain researcher Andreas Nader.
Actually, the medial temporal lobe, these areas, would not be the first areas to investigate in the human brain for numbers, but the first areas would be the posterior parietal cortex and the prefrontal cortex. That's where we see most of these neurons in a non-human primate, in a monkey. But we cannot choose our recording site because we have to go with the therapeutic intervention, obviously. So we ended up in the medial temporal lobe. On the other hand, the medial temporal lobe is also not the worst place to look for such neurons because it is intensively connected to these areas in the posterior parietal and in the prefrontal cortex. And it's also been shown over the last years, particularly in children, that this area in the hippocampus is very active when children learn calculations and multiplication tables and so on and so forth. So in order for the children to do this and for us to learn it, these representations have to be present one way or another.
Brian Butterworth, a cognitive neuroscientist at University College London, who wasn't involved in the new work, says it's not clear why numbered neurons are present in this region.
It shows that things that we thought were specific to parietal lobe seem to be reflected also in parts of the middle temporal lobe. That's an interesting issue.
One possibility is that these aren't number neurons at all. Pedro Pinheiro Chagas is an assistant professor of neurology at the University of California, San Francisco. He thinks these could instead be concept neurons, which are located in the medial temporal lobe and are each linked to specific concepts. For example, one famous study found a concept neuron that responded directly and specifically to images of actor Jennifer Aniston. Here's Pinheiro Chagas.
It's not that you have one cell per concept, but you have multiple cells for the same concept, and some of them are quite abstract, and some people say that they are actually not concepts. They are more like episodic memory kind of cells, that at some point you associated that voice with that face, and that made it like an episodic event, and that is where you store these information. And maybe these are what they are finding. Maybe they are not finding actually the mechanisms of the number sense or this distinction. Maybe they are finding concept cells that also apply to numbers.
Pinheiro Chagas says he finds the tuning curve results to be very convincing, suggesting that these cells do follow classical psychophysical laws of number perception. But he says more studies are needed to further confirm and to reject alternate hypotheses. Marinella Capoletti, a cognitive neuroscientist at Goldsmiths University of London, says the level of analysis is just really outstanding. She says the researchers provide compelling evidence for dual mechanisms in the medial temporal lobe. But Capoletti thinks it would be valuable to see whether these mechanisms operate in other brain regions as well, if the opportunity presents. She says the findings are like looking into a window, and it would be nice to open it a bit more to tell us more about the rest of the brain. The new findings have clear parallels to the limitations of working memory. People can hold only a certain number of objects in their awareness, or working memory, at a time. Experiments show that number is also 4. Capoletti says the agreement between the boundary of number sense and that of working memory is hard to ignore. It's possible that the mechanisms are related. In previous studies of number sense, when a participant stopped paying attention, they lost their ability to precisely judge the true value of numbers 4 and below. That suggests that the small number system, which suppresses adjacent misfirings with small numbers, might be intimately tied to attention. Nieder now hypothesizes that the small number system turns on only when you're paying attention to what's in front of you. He's hoping to test this idea in monkeys, in addition to looking for a neural boundary at 4 that their experiments haven't yet captured.
I'm still very open-minded about whether this could indeed be something specific for our human brain. It might be a correlation or even a cause why we are able to learn to count symbolically and other species not. But this is something we have to find out, so there are many questions now, but interesting questions are always good in science.
Pedro Pinheiro Chagas of the University of California, San Francisco, says the new research seems to be the beginning of a new leap in our understanding of number perception.
So I think there is a lot going on that will allow us to make much more progress. And I think there is a good momentum with discussions both in the artificial intelligence, but also in education, especially after the pandemic. There is a big interest in the developmental aspect of it and kids with problems in learning. There is some evidence that kids with dyscalculia, they have a different subtizing range. They are not that precise. So that will be something interesting to investigate that we are doing here at UCSF. Looking at also patients with dementia, if they have particular kinds of the atrophy in a part of area that impacts these systems.
In other words, the potential for many useful applications. Pinyaru Chagas points out that artificial intelligence struggles with numerosity perception. He says large language models are pretty bad at counting and pretty bad at understanding quantities. Better characterizing number neurons can also help us understand who we are. Here's Nieder again.
It is one of our big symbol systems, number theory. Now I'm talking about symbolic number representation that we can learn as humans. But this is, next to the language system, our second big symbol system. And finding out what is making this possible is, I think, a very valuable endeavor.
People use numbers frequently and in a variety of ways. And we and our ancestors have used math to describe the world for millennia. In that sense, math is a fundamental part of being human. And as this study starts to show, this calculation prowess might all stem from a finely tuned network of neurons in the brain. Arlene Santana helped with this episode. I'm Susan Vallet. For more on this story, read Yasmin Sapokoglu's full article, Why the Human Brain Perceives Small Numbers Better, on our website, quantamagazine.org. Make sure to tell your friends about the Quanta Science podcast and give us a positive review or follow where you listen. It helps people find this podcast.